Matthew chapter 7. Alright, I got a lot shorter message than what I had this morning. I tried to take about 8 months of what I've been preaching on here and preach it in one message down there this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Let's just look at the thought here this evening. I've noticed this a lot of different times. The effect that Jesus had on people when he spoke, it's pretty interesting to just study. Some people got mad. Some people wanted to kill him. Others were astonished. That's what we're looking at here tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Why? Well, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. They were used to listening to that same old monotonous bunch of nothing. And this man had something to say. Yes. That's the way it was with John the Baptist too. When it had been a long time since they had heard somebody preach or teach the Word of God with the Spirit of God. They just hadn't heard it in a long time. They were astonished at how Jesus taught. Because he spoke as one that had authority. All right. Now they were astonished because he taught as one having authority, it says. They were hearing straight from the source, so they were hearing from the authority. As one way that you can speak with authority is when you're the authority. Yeah. He spoke the Word of God to him, and he is the Word of God. And so it meant something coming directly from the source. See, no secondhand stuff. Didn't come through anybody else's filters. This came straight from God himself. What he had and what had he said that made him sense that authority? How'd they know? You know, I mean, what made him stand out from everybody else? There had to be some things there besides just his manners and, you know, his mannerisms and the tone of his voice or anything like that. Let me read you some verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, think about that. He is speaking as one that has authority. He's talking about himself there, see. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, he's acknowledging to them his deity, isn't he? Who he is. They're recognizing it too. And he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. Well, nobody's ever said that before. The Pharisees sure didn't say stuff like that. How about verse 17? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He's speaking with authority. I mean, he's talking about the very basic things of their faith and of God. And he's telling it just like it is. He's not muddying the water up with a bunch of men's traditions and doctrines and things that just came from the minds of men. He's dealing with basic things here. Verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, boy, the people don't even like that nowadays, do they? They don't like for a preacher to say that. They want a preacher to tell them, oh, you're saved, you're okay. Right. You made that profession way back here when you was a kid, and never mind, you ain't ever lived for God. Don't worry about that. You're saved. That's what they want to hear. Yeah. How many times did Jesus do that? How many people did he comfort that way? Never. Never. He told, we're in Matthew 5 and Matthew 7 here, and he did it. He told people when they weren't going to heaven, didn't he? Yeah, sure. But we're not supposed to do that, even if all the evidence is there. Mm-hmm. He spoke with authority. See, people don't think that there's such a thing anymore. You know, Most churches have preachers who just parrot what they've heard or what they've been taught in school somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Or what they've read in a book. They don't speak with any authority.
Right.
The authority is this book right here.
Yes.
I don't have any authority. I don't have any authority over you to tell you what to do. I mean, and it, what good would it do? You can choose and do as you want. I found that out. I've been in church for a long time, and I found out people do exactly what they want to do, no matter what you tell them, what you demand of them, what you try to bribe them or scare them into doing. They do just exactly what they want to do.
That's right.
This is a volunteer thing, and that's exactly how it works with God, too. If you want to go to hell, He'll let you go to hell. If you're bent on doing it, He's not going to stop you and force you to serve Him.
Right.
That's not how it is. We serve Him because we love Him.
Right.
And we love Him because He first loved us.
Right.
But I say unto you, six times He said that, but I say unto you, but I say unto you, but I say unto you. Sounds like authority to me. You've read in the Bible. Yeah, I mean, Moses said, it's in the law, but I say unto you. Well, it ain't no wonder that a few chapters over, they're ready to kill him. Some of them's ready to kill him right now.
Right.
He's saying that he's God. He's speaking like he knows, like he's got some authority. Well, I want you to know that he did have that authority. Not everyone, Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the way it is.
Sure.
Jesus said it. Now he said that, and he said it with authority. And when I read to you what Jesus said, it carries that same authority. You can't say, well, Mike Miller said that. No, Jesus said that. So because he spoke it with authority, I can speak it with authority, and you can speak it with authority.
Yes, sir.
Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he is not going to say that with any joy,
yeah,
but with brokenness. And
yeah.
24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 28, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So you think it don't matter? I mean, you can just do ever how you want to and you're still going to end up in the same place. No, sir. It ain't going to work that way. Build your house on the sand, it's going to be destroyed. Build your house on the rock, it's going to stand.
Yes.
Makes a difference. This is what we was talking about a while ago about Brother Kenny. You live your life fooling around and playing around with God and the things of God and just being light about it and never growing, never getting any understanding. And then you're going to hit the wall one of these days and it's going to be bad because you're not going to have what you need. Your house is going to fall because you've been building it on the sand and not on a rock. He spoke, as if the things he said were true, and he believed them. That's a big difference in preaching, let me tell you. It just makes a difference if a preacher preaches like he believes what he's preaching, or if he's just talking. Yeah. You know, we had a preacher one time many years ago, boringest thing I ever had to endure in my life. He come to church, and he was an old man, so he talked real slow, but he read every word. He never looked at you. I mean, he came and looked down here and he read his whole message and you could not hear him. Didn't speak with authority. Had nothing to say. That's right. I know when I'm listening to somebody that believes what they're preaching.
Amen.
And I know when I'm listening to somebody that don't know. They tell jokes and stories and illustrations. And that's the message. Yeah. What Brother Kenny used to say, three poems. And how did he put that? Yeah. And then you go home, three poems and a prayer. Yeah. He spoke as if the things he said were true, and he believed them. And they never sensed any wobble at all in the firmness of what he said. He didn't, and I don't know how to verbalize this just exactly, but it's one thing when somebody says something to you. Like, you know, thus saith the Lord. That's firm. That's authoritative. That's final. That's the way it is. And then there's this other way of talking where, well, you know, I mean, it could be, and I think, and, you know, we might suppose, and... I heard a guy one time a few years ago, and he was preaching out of Luke, and he took the scripture, and then he read the scripture, and then from that point, the rest of his sermon, it was all imagining what this person might have done, what this person might have said, what this person might have thought. And the whole message from that, and he painted up this whole imaginary, like, what do you call it, historical fiction. Mm-hmm. Made up this story that went with this scripture that's not in the Bible.
Right. Exactly.
That don't carry no authority. No. It just entertains people. And it don't entertain me very well, because that's not the way the Bible's supposed to be preached, and it does no good. They never heard him gathering from the wisdom of other men, or referring to the thoughts or learning of other men. It was straight from God Himself. When Jesus did refer to somebody, it was in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Elias, Solomon, David. He mentioned things they said, but he didn't mention any contemporary scholars and, you know, men of renown, did he? I don't know of any. If he did, it was in a negative way. Mm-hmm. They never heard him giving different options for people and making room for everybody under his tent. John chapter 6, they all turned around and left. The multitude. They was all there following him around. And by the time he got done, he turned to the 12 and said, "Will ye leave also? Will you go away also?" Because he said, if you're going to, I mean, if you can't take it, then that's it. The message doesn't change because everybody's offended at it. They came to him one time and said, "Didn't you know that the Pharisees were offended at what you said?" Did he say, "Oh, no, I hate it. I didn't want to offend anybody." Well, I don't want to offend anybody either. And Jesus didn't either. But the truth is the truth. And if we're not going to preach the truth and preach it with authority, then we ain't got no business trying to be a church. Might as well just give it up and go join the rest of them.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a difference. There was a great difference here. They were astonished at his doctrine, because he spoke as one having authority. Spoke like he knew what he was talking about. He spoke as if what he said had to say was real and true. And it was. And we can speak with the same authority about the same things, because they are true.
Yes, right.
And we have God's Word on it. I can preach God's Word with authority. And it's not my authority, it's God's authority. Because
yes,
God's right. Mm-hmm. What He said stands.
Yes,
heaven and earth pass away, but not His words. Not a jot or a tittle. Nothing of the Word of God's going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard a hint of compromise in the words of Jesus. Oh my, I love that. Just to think about that right there. You never heard one hint of compromise. Not one budge. Because he spoke as one having authority. Didn't spoke as if he had authority. He spoke as one having authority. And he didn't compromise. He didn't fudge on anything. He spoke the truth, and therefore there was no need for compromise. That's right. Mm-hmm. Having done all what he's supposed to do,
stand.
When we talked about down there this morning a little bit, you know, that's it. That's it. You do what you're supposed to do. You stay at your post, and when everything else is gone, you stand. You don't back up.
Amen.
You don't give one inch back to the devil. I mean, when are people going to stop doing that? How far are you going to back up? How far are you going to let the devil shove you back away from the truth? You got to decide sometime, this is it. This is as far as I'm going. I ain't backing up no more. I ain't giving up no more ground. Jesus never bluffed.
No.
That's speaking with authority. You know, there's been a couple of presidents in my life, and one of them I remember way back there, he didn't bluff. I mean, he just didn't bluff. Reagan didn't bluff. I mean, I remember two or three incidents, and I was pretty young back there, but I remember it because he told him, he said, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. And they said, you can't do that. He said, try me. And they did it, and he did it. And they said, you can't make it stick. And he made it stick. It stuck. And so from then on, when he said something, I'm going to do this, then they backed up a little bit. If you're a bluffer, people won't ever listen to you. I mean, you got to say what you mean and mean what you say and don't change a thing.
Yes, sir.
Be careful what you say. Be careful when you stick your neck out, you better be sure. But when you do, don't back up and don't bluff. Netanyahu, don't bluff. When he tells them, we're going to get you, they get him. And they do it quick. They don't dawdle around for months and weeks and take polls and talk about it and figure out another plan and see if there's anything else they can do and try to give them money. And nope. You shoot a rocket at us, bam! I mean, you die within minutes, pretty much. Well, I like to see that. Because that maintains order and peace.
Yes, sir. Yes.
We got to have authority in our life. Somebody's got to speak with authority in the home. Somebody's got to speak with authority when it comes to the Word of God. Has to be.
Yes, sir.
None of this old limp-wristed kind of authority. That ain't no authority. He never bluffed. And it says there that he was not as the scribes. The way he spoke was with authority, not as the scribes. So they didn't speak as one having authority. So let's think about that a minute there. The scribes, they were the teachers. They were the scholars. They were the ones who, knew the Word of God. You know, I know a lot of people that know the Word of God. They know what it says, but they don't know what it says. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's people and other doctrines and stuff that are way off on salvation and stuff that memorize whole chapters and books out of the Bible. Commit them to memory. But they don't understand it. And they can't explain it to anybody. That's the way the scribes were. They were blind guides, Jesus called them. That's what he called them. Blind guides. The blind leading the blind, and they both fall in the ditch. People are supposed to know the Word of God and be able to lead others, and all they're doing is making twofold more the child of hell than they were before. They derived their truths, the scribes did, from the opinions and interpretations of other men. That's what people do today. That's what most of them do. They look to other men to explain it all to them. And they take all the opinions and interpretations that they can gather together from other men and all the wisdom they can put together from the words and works of men, and then that's what they teach people. You know, a preacher can buy his sermons now. Has been able to for years, but I mean, now you can get them on the internet all the time. A lot of them do that too. Do you know that? They do. Do they speak with authority? No, they're doing just like the scribes. They put together all the wisdom, but with Jesus, the words came directly from the source of truth. They discussed genealogies and doctrines that only served to puff them up. Knowledge puffeth up. That's right. And that's all they had. You can just have knowledge and not be able to speak with authority because you don't understand what you're... It doesn't come from the source to you. See?
Yep.
You know, a lot of modern Christianity is focused on training others and just making broom. It's like a broomstick factory, you know. You teach them how to do it, you put them through the class, you teach them the method, and are you, you know, all the different Bible schools, you know, they have that, every one of them has their thing. You know what I'm talking about? The major ones through the years. They're known by this or that or the other. But it's like O.B.R. Lakin said that time. That's what he said. He said they turn out preachers like broom handles, and they're all the same, and they all say the same thing, and then we're in a mess. That was years ago. What is it now? They were concerned about eating with unwashing hands. That's a big deal with the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh yeah, boy, they wash them hands. We went in a Cracker Barrel yesterday morning to eat breakfast, and all these people with their masks, and you know, I just thought, you know, why are you coming in here to eat if you're scared to death and you got to wear a mask? And how are you going to eat without taking that thing off?
Yeah.
So what are you trying to prove? I mean, if you're that scared of this coronavirus, if I was really that scared, I'd stay home.
Yes.
I'd hide under a tree or something and wouldn't get near anybody, but they'll walk right in a restaurant full of people with that mask on and then take it off to eat. Well, that's how the scribes were too. You know, they were just big on unwashing hands and watching to catch someone doing something on the Sabbath or something like that. They had all their written rules and regulations. They figured it all out, and they was just watching everybody see if they catch somebody doing something wrong, because they knew what was right. And Jesus was harder on them than he was on anybody else. He said, "The publicans and the harlots enter into the kingdom of heaven before you." That's what he said. How's that for authority? How's that for sticking your neck out there?
Right.
Was he telling a lie? Was he exaggerating? Was he just making trouble? No, he was just telling them the truth. Some of them ended up getting saved because somebody told them the truth. With authority.
Yes.
Instead of pandering to them.
Yep.
And trying to comfort them in their deceit. It had been over 400 years since any prophet had been able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Do you realize that?
Yes.
Long time since a man had stood out there and said, "Thus saith the Lord." When John the Baptist began preaching, full of the Holy Ghost, as the first time in all those years. No wonder everybody from all of Judea and Jerusalem and all went out to hear him.
Yeah.
You ought to hear this man.
Yeah.
It's different what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still that way.
That's right.
And I've been around for a long time, and I know immediately when I find a preacher somewhere who's been with God and got what he's preaching from God.
That's right.
I know. You can just, I mean, there it is. It was all those years ago for them too. All right, when Jesus was what Jesus was saying here was practical, plain instruction in personal righteousness and how to be close to God and right with Him. That's what He was teaching here: how to know God and how to walk with God and how to be close to God. And they're thinking about washing your hands and all of that stuff. You know, is that how you get close to God?
Yeah.
You know, what about our practices that we do? You know, baptism, does that get you close to God? Don't do a thing for you except to answer with good conscience toward God for what He's done for you. It's a testimony. It's what He's commanded. It's one of the ordinances of the church. The Lord's Supper, does that do anything for you? It quickens your mind. And I mean, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's why He wanted us to do it, so we'd remember Him. That's simple as that. But people put a lot of stock in those things. There's a lot of churches that put a lot more on baptism and a lot more on the Lord's Supper and a lot more on all kinds of things. But that's not what makes the Christian. Jesus was teaching practical, plain instruction in personal righteousness here. It's like when we hear something that's true, and we knew it all along, but we just didn't know how to say it. That's what it was like for these people.
Yes.
And this is what it's like for us, too. A guy come up to me after church down there this morning, and he said, "Brother," he said, "that was really good." He said, "Thank you," but, and he said, "and I don't mean I'm trying to make light of what all you said and everything, but," he said, "it just seems like it's so simple that everybody ought to know this." I said, "Yes, brother, but we don't."
Right.
Somebody just got to say it.
Yes.
And then everybody just says, "How many times have you done that? How many times have I done that?" Somebody say something, I just think, what in the world? Yeah. I know that's true. And how could I have not seen it that way all this time? That's the way it was for them. I mean, they were astonished at his doctrine. I mean, he had their attention. And they were, and the people now, the scribes, they were, you know, it was a threat to them. And that's the way it works nowadays too, you know. You get anything going, these people like the scribes, they're gonna get upset with you. Let me hurry up here. Astonish means to stun or strike dumb with sudden fear, terror, surprise, or wonder, amazement. It means to confound with sudden passion. Astonish. These people were absolutely captured by the words of Jesus. When they came to take him that night, the Roman soldiers and the priests and all of them, and that man fell backwards. And then he went back and they said, "What, you believe him too?" He said, "Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man."
Wow.
He's right.
Yeah.
Everybody he spoke to. At the tomb he said, "Mary." That's all he had to say for her to realize who he was. Just the sound of his voice and how he said it. It was astonishing the way Jesus spoke. It still is, too. That's the thing about it. In a lot of churches, he's not speaking to anybody because nobody's listening.
That's right. Yes, sir.
When people start listening, he'll start talking.
That's right.
He'll start speaking. And it's still astonishing. I've been astonished every time God has spoke to me. That's one thing Brother Mike was preaching on there this morning before all that happened. He said, "God, if God ain't speaking to you," he said, "God speaks." And said he don't speak with an audible voice because he don't have to.
Right.
But he said, "God speaks to you through his word." And every time he does, it's astonishing. It really is. Every time I've ever heard from God, where God just spoke special to me. I mean, just made me realize something. Through the preaching. Yes. Through reading the Word of God and studying. I have to just sit back and, you know, cry a little or shout a little or just sit there in awe. Right. It's astonishing. I don't know. That's the word he used here. The Bible uses it. They were astonished at his doctrine. We know, you know, these people were absolutely captured by his words, thoroughly impressed and affected to action. Boy, they followed him everywhere he went. What did they go for? To hear some more. His disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." The multitude sought him out. I mean, he would get away from them and they'd find him. I mean, they'd follow him across the sea. They wouldn't let him get away because they wanted to hear more. Some of them were following him for the loaves and the fishes. He knew that. But people wanted to hear. They hear. So, we know that all that's true because the next verse tells us this. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Great multitudes followed him. And the question to us is, how do his words affect us? Are you the kind that prefers the Pharisees' teaching? I don't. I'll tell you right now. It don't hold my attention. It really don't. Hope it don't hold yours. Hope you can't find satisfaction for your soul in the Pharisees' preaching and teaching. Practicing religion instead of Christianity. Are you that kind? Following rules and watching out for transgressors? Are you that kind? You like the preaching of that kind? You think that's the kind that speaks with authority? No, they try to. I've been in churches where that's the way it was, you know. And I've watched that preacher destroy those churches, you know. Those preachers destroy those churches.
Yes.
Trying to make, anyway, lording over the people. God's heritage. Long public prayers and fancy ceremonies and lots of show. That's what he said. He said, you wear those phylacteries around your neck and you make a big show. And when you come down the street, you want to hear everybody saying, Rabbi, Rabbi. Boy, Jesus lowered the boom on him, didn't he, in Matthew 23 there? My. Idolizing the leaders and making them a class unto themselves. You know, I don't know how anybody could be right with God and not see the error in that. I've told you before about I used to go to a church where you didn't never get to talk to the preacher or anybody else. You just came in and sat in the pew and waited until about 2 minutes before the service was to begin, the side door would open, and in would walk a single file line of about 7 men up onto the platform and stand like at attention and then sit down. And then when the service was over, before everybody else was dismissed, they made their exit out the side door. Well, you may think that's high church. Well, maybe it's high church, but not for me. Nope, not for me. Supposed to be given to hospitality.
Yes.
Isn't that what one of the requirements of a pastor is?
Yes, sure.
My door's always open. I mean, if you don't want it that way, don't be a pastor.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
She talked to him. She talked to the ladies down there. And she talked about hospitality. And that was part of it, you know. Door's always got to be open. Got to be given to hospitality. Are you, you know, plenty satisfied with just the opinions and doctrines and teachings of men without ever hearing from the one who speaks with authority? Now think about that a minute. I'm trying to quit here, but just think about that. Is it good enough for you just to read books about what other men said, just to listen to sermons that other men said? Is it good enough for you? Does it satisfy you? Is it sufficient for your Christian life and for your to sustain your soul and your spirit just to hear what other people say? Well, it's not for me. No, not for me. I need to get it right from here once in a while.
Yes,
sir. And you do too. Are you astonished at his doctrine? I am.
Yes.
I've been saved, I told them, almost 45 years now. And I've been preaching almost 40 years. And I'm more astonished. And I'm not just saying this. I really am. I've been telling you. It's, to me, I don't know what the deal is. But when I read the Word of God now, I don't care where or when. It's just like a fireworks show or something. It is now, I'm telling you. There's just so much in there that I'm just astonished when I see it.
Yes.
And I've read it and read it and read it and read it for 45 years.
Yeah.
It don't wear out.
No.
It don't get weaker. It don't fade away. You don't empty it out and learn all there is. So, no, that's God. That's because it's God's book. And it's not a book some man wrote. I've got other books that men wrote. I've read them one time. Can't read, you know, if I read them again, it don't do nothing for me. Done read that. It's not that way with this book.
That's right.
Are you moved with fear or surprise at the hearing of the words of Christ? Which one? Are you moved to action? You know, are you just heaping up knowledge? Or does it move you to do something about it? We're going to change things at home. That's what I told them down there this morning. I preached about spiritual warfare. And I told them, you know, you need to just go to the front door of your house and open the door and say, devil, out of my house. You need to take charge of this thing.
Yes, amen.
Do something. You can't just sit around and let the devil just wallow you around all over the place until he gets all your kids and all your family and ruins your home and your life.
That's right.
Do something.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Are you moved to action? I mean, the words of Christ ought to move us to action. Real action that means something. Not just add more religious things onto our life that we do. Well, I keep thinking of stuff to say, but I got to quit. Upon reading the Sermon on the Mount, how are you affected? Have you read the Sermon on the Mount lately? It'll astonish you. When you sit down and start reading 5, 6, 7 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll read it slow and consider everything Jesus said, you'll read it all your life and you'll never exhaust it. That's the truth. I don't know how many times I've preached through it, verse by verse, and I can read it now and it still just astonishes me. I don't know what other word to use. Because I just see more and more and more. I think, man, that's the Lord. Ain't it amazing His words, how that they're so rich and there is no exhausting them, and how He said those words, every one of them means something and fits in there, and He is saying so much more than you can get, that you can absorb with your mind. At one pass, at two passes, at 100 passes in your lifetime, you can't absorb all He said. You go back and there's some more. There's some more. It's pretty astonishing.
Yes.
I mean, if there's anything about this, I'd say this is an understatement.
Yeah.
They were astonished at His doctrine. Looks like there ought to be a better word than that. What does it do for you? Matthew 13, verse 54. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Where did all of this come from? This ain't like nothing we've ever heard before. We've never met anybody like this. Luke 4, 32, Bible says, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power."
Yeah.
Word had power. I know what that means, because I've experienced that also. John chapter 7, verse 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." So if His words don't affect us the way they affected those people, then we ought to examine ourselves closely. We must be hard of hearing. There must be something wrong with us. If it astonished them, it astonished these other people, it has astonished everybody through the ages. And if I can sit there and listen to what Jesus said and big deal.
Right.
Something wrong.
Amen.
Your soul. If it don't amaze you, if it don't capture you, if it don't cause you to stand in awe, then you ain't hearing what He's saying.
That's right.
The words of Christ either offended or astonished. And they still do that today. That's just how it works. When Jesus speaks, it still offends people or it astonishes them. That's just the way it ought to be. It ought to be that way all the time.
That's right.
Yes,
sir.
Yep.
Hear my voice.
Yes. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me.
Yes.
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Go on and on.
Yep.
That's pretty astonishing, too.
Yes, yes sir.
Yeah. And they said, "This man hath a devil." This man cast. We would read the little Daily Light, and the other day, that's all it was. They put together the verses of what all people had said about Jesus, what they'd called Him. People that were listening were astonished, captivated, motivated. The others went and tried to figure out how they could kill Him. That's all they had on their mind. You recall Lazarus out of the tomb, and immediately some of them said, "We got to kill him. What a bunch of dummies. He just was dead, and now he ain't. What are you good's going to do to kill him? What's the matter with you? You know, insane people. You think second time will work, huh? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your words and how real they are. And thank you for preserving your Word here for us and that we've got it to look to and how that it's so real and so effective. If we just hear it and listen today, if you hear His voice, Lord, I pray you'd help us not to harden our hearts, as the Bible says over and over. Lord, thank you for the time to together tonight. And thank you for everybody's here. Pray you watch over the kids that get on in. And Lord, bring us all together next time. Everybody here, I pray that we would be able to be together. And we thank you for what you've done for us this week too. And again, Lord, I want to ask you to help Brother Mike Church. To help him, Lord, right now. I'm sure they have him at the hospital trying to figure out if he's broken bones or what. And I pray, Father, help him. Help him to get some help quickly. And Lord, I pray you'd bring him through this without harm. And Lord, we pray that you'd go with us now. Help us, Lord, in the next few days, this week, that you'd give us a chance, an opportunity to be a blessing to other people and to be a light for you out here in this world where we all mix and go. And I pray you'd help us to be make a difference and be the salt of the earth and the way you intend for us to be. Lord, it'd be profitable to your kingdom and not. And Lord, guard us and help us. I do pray sincerely that you would help us not to be a hindrance, not to say things or do things or be in a certain way or attitude that would cause others to turn away from thee. Lord, we love you tonight and pray you'd bless your word to heart in Jesus' name. Amen.